When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm actually kind of shocked with how much I liked The Valley. I can understand why Bravo took a look around that group of friends. And to me, I know they may not be great people, but it's just clear that they should be on TV. Like, Kristen should be on TV. We need to document this insanity. Jax, I don't know, I'm on the fence about Jax, but I'm happy to hate Jax again. I'm also impressed that Jax has so many friends. He's such an asshole. They have such a big group of friends. And I'm just like, are you just a dick to everyone? It's just pretty amazing to me. But the cast, the rest of the cast is wonderful. Janet, Jason, Nia, Danny, Jesse. And now we have like a new Jax, but in a different way, like a classier Jax, but still really fucked up. You can tell, like, real sick in the head. And his wife, they're all beautiful. They're all lovely. Well, I was going to say they're all lovely to look at, but Jax's face is actually pretty scary. He has had one too many chemical peels. That having a plastic surgeon friend is probably not working for him, because neither of them are doing their friend any favors by advertising that just freaky looking work. And you got Brittany with the thing on and the whatever. Okay, but I think I'm gonna start with Vanderpump. I'll put timestamps if you want to skip. But I'm thinking Vanderpump is where we're gonna start. Then we'll go into the after show, and then we will go into The Valley, since that's kind of the order it's meant to be in. I don't know. It just feels like it. Okay. Let's get into it. So Tom is throwing his pool party, and Schwartz is weirded out from the second he gets there. I could tell as he's getting mic'd up. He's like, what is this exactly? Like, who's coming? Did he invite girls? Uh-oh, I don't know if I should walk in. But before we get into that, Lala and Katie get dinner. Early dinner, I must say. Lala's confessional really irritated me. She goes, Katie and I just fit different in each other's lives because I'm trying not to be such a bitch and she's happy on her warpath. What? Lady, what are you saying? I don't understand what that's about. Katie has completely changed. She's changed in a lot of ways. You're the one who's coming in hot. Didn't you say you didn't want to get involved in other people's fights? And then here you are fighting Ariana and Sheena's fight. So who hasn't changed? Who's on a warpath? Huh? Who's on a warpath? Huh? Lala says that Katie pointed out something last night. She says, what happened to me, I do wear it around because it altered my life. That's fine. We do wear it around, but you're putting it on everyone else. Everything that happens is equated to what you went through. That's the issue. Okay. And Katie goes, I understand your intention, but it does perceive like you make everything about you. And Lala softens, thankfully, and says she will work on that. And then she goes, is there any version of you being a little softer with me? And Katie says, yes, that is my toxic trait. It's always tone and delivery with me. And it sure is. That was her issue. That was her issue all the time. She had a point a lot, but her delivery was so hard to hear it. For example, when Rand did that horrible prank where cops arrested Sandoval for TPing Jax's house, it was absolutely in poor taste, especially for that period of time. Especially then. Like, it's not funny to have someone get arrested. For most people, that's a matter of life and death. So it was, but it's the way she said it. It's the way she delivered it. It's hard to hear it. you know? But then they just say, I'm sorry. And Lala does say, I'm worried that we'll say something to each other that we can't come back from. Now, let's also put into context what Lala said on her podcast. What was that, last week or whenever it was? Last week, right? And she said that her and Katie, they had an issue that they just saw. They looked at each other different from that point on. And it was before the reunion last year. Well, then Katie goes on Watch What Happens Live and someone asks, what's the thing? Like, what happened? And she's like, I don't know, because we had something happen. We had a falling out, but then we talked about it, and we talked about it here in Watch What Happens Live. Then we had the reunion and then they started filming. And like, there was no incident in between. So Katie doesn't even know what she's referring to in this situation. So, okay, whatever. But they say, Katie says, I'm sorry, in a very sincere way. And Lala, they hug. And I actually got a little choked up. I'm like, I could handle watching these two fight and make up every episode. I know that would be really rough on them emotionally, but like, I enjoyed, at least they're both trying to be something. Lala, I don't like to give Lala much credit because Lala talks a big game, but okay. They're at the party. Schwartz is like, hey, Tom, I'm gonna go. You know, you brought up the girls that you met at See You Next Tuesday. And then they show this flashback of guys' fancy night at the barbecue, whatever. And that doesn't even sound fancy, but the steak night, how about that? And Tom, in the flashback, he's like, yeah, I'm putting myself back out there. As if he's been single and lonely for so long. You're putting yourself back out there. You were in a relationship for 9 years. You've admitted you cheated more than this, but then you were having an affair on the girlfriend. And then it's only been maybe a few weeks that Rachel hasn't talked to you, and you were rumored to be hooking up with chicks at your show and like not Mr. Single Guy. Not Mr. Sad Lonely Guy, but like you seemed fine. Like that was the rumor, at least. I wasn't there, but there was a lot of footage of him flirting with chicks and stuff at the shows. So when he's acting like he hasn't put himself out there, I'm like, what are you talking about, dude? I can say that when I eventually, because I have to, it's like I got to start doing something. I have to find someone to have sex with. Okay, that's the goal for the rest of this year. But I can say that I'm putting myself out there. I haven't done it in since COVID hit. Okay, Tom, you don't get to say that. Like it's manipulative. It's like gaslighty. He presents it like we're supposed to be, like it's a normal breakup. Like it's someone going through a normal breakup. Like, oh, in a normal situation, people would be like, just put yourself back out there. This is different. This is fucking different. Maybe be single for a second. Schwartz is like, I don't know, just the idea of me being in here after everything that happened, you know, being implicated as some sort of like wingman. And then Tom goes, well, it's our fault. Okay, never mind. Never mind, dude. Bye. So Schwartz actually seems to understand that this is not a good look. Meanwhile, Sandoval, in his confessional, of course, he's like, it's not like we're having an orgy in the living room. He always does that. He offers this catastrophic example of an alternative. Like, well, it's not like we're having orgies in the living room. No, but you're having women over to hit on them and you still like, Ariana still lives there. It is just gross. Which is proven later when the girls show up that he invited and they're like, oh, what? So, yeah, it's just gross. But Billy, I'm done with Billy. I'll tell you right now. We've been done, I know, but we're done. Billy whispers to Tom, so did you meet my girlfriend? And you can just tell she's like, If you hook up with one of my friends, then that means I'll always be close to you, and maybe we'll have like a threesome one day, and then maybe like you'll have an affair with me. That's what Billy's saying in that sentence. That's what Billy is saying. And Tom's just like, he's all leaning back. He's like, she's cool, like really overdoing it. And then Billy goes, is there anyone else coming by? Tom's like, yeah. And then Billy looks all awkward, and she goes, like an after-hours situation. So to me, this isn't a guy who seems like he needs to put himself out there, and he's just so lonely and sad. Billy is presenting this like some after-hour situation, like it's not that uncommon, and she has even verbiage for it. So when Ariana's been out of town, I wouldn't be surprised if Tom's been doing shit already, even though he's pretending he's so sad and lonely about Rachel. Please. Please, buddy. Tom's like, no, I'm not trying to get too crazy here. I don't want to cause any friction with my roommate. And Billy rolls her fucking eyes. Like, she's just so sick of Ariana and Ariana's rules. Billy, he cheated on her. Weren't you her friend? Weren't you her fucking friend, Billy? But she clearly chose a side, and then she tried to be like, oh, I'm friends with both people. Guys, can't you understand that that's like the mature thing to do? Clearly not. Clearly she's just been talking shit about Ariana. Fuck that, Billy Lee. The girls arrive and they are young. Okay, poor Kate and Michelle. Although they do deserve all the dragging. You said yes to going to Tom Sandoval's house and he lives with Ariana. Like, you just wanted to be on camera, so... I hate seeing Maya, Ariana's dog, there because they don't get to pet her. No one can pet Maya. Maya's like, hi, everybody. I love Maya. I wish we hadn't focused on Maya nearly enough in other seasons. So as much Maya as I could possibly get. I love her. I wish I could meet her. I love her. But Tom gets in the pool. But as he's getting in the pool, there's this shot of Anne and she's passing out shots. So not only is her job to be the assistant, but she also has to be like the cabana girl. Fuck her job. And Ariana loves Anne. Kate loves it. They all love Anne. Anne is definitely not an enemy at all. But they just all feel bad. I wonder, when did she get hired? I wonder. Actually, never mind. I don't care. Tom gives a cheers to the people, he's the girls and the other guy, the guy, the black guy that's there with the braids, the skinny guy who's talking. Well, I can't remember his name, but I think he's the host at Schwartz and Sandy's. I think he's the maitre d' or the host or something, I think. But Tom's cheers is, here's to staying positive and testing negative. And no one gives him a response. He's like, I love that one. That's my favorite cheers. I love that one. But no one was like, ha, no one said anything. He was like, that usually kills. And Tom goes, I've never been married, by the way. What? Did they ask? I'll probably be married next year, knowing me. I'm kidding. Okay. Have you guys been to Burning Man? It'd be a great year for me to go because I'm single. Okay. I do have a roommate, though. I told you guys about my roommate, right? Who's your roommate? Just my ex-girlfriend. Nothing serious, just a 10-year relationship. I keep her locked in a room and I crush up potato chips and leave them under the door for her. I don't like that because it sounds like something he's done in the past or is currently doing to someone he's got held captive somewhere. I don't know. It's like, you do the what now, sir? But then Tom actually woos himself. He goes, woo! Because it's in the pool. Woo! Okay, bye-bye. The next day, the place is a mess, and Anne is cleaning it up all by herself while Tom works out. And then she does his laundry, too, apparently. Tom's like, Anne gets to whatever I can't get to. I'm not leaving a mess ever. Sir, it's a party you threw. You can't, okay. Anne is not also a maid. Like, that's not also the job description, honestly. So Sheena comes over with the mess all around. And I could feel Sheena being like, is Tom here? Oh, is he? Is Tom here? Maybe I could see him. But Ariana, they sit down and she's Ariana. She's like, babe, how are you? Because people are telling me you're upset with me. And the day before, Ariana had met with Lisa, and Lisa told her that Sheena was upset about how she found out about Dancing with the Stars. And Sheena goes, what I don't like is people telling me how I feel, especially Lisa. You participated in that conversation heavily. You, okay. Mm-hmm. Sheena says that she thought it, she was in the running for Dancing with the Stars. Now, I would just love to know why she thought that. I have this amazing, this is so shitty of me, but I had this amazing visual of Sheena being delusional, being like, oh, we're going to get it this year. After Scandoval, after everything that happened, Vanderpump Rules is hotter than ever. I'm going to get it this year. And so she never got word that it was happening, but she's just like preparing and she's taking her classes and she's like doing her thing. And then Ariana gets it. And I just imagine her like in a ballroom outfit finding out and being like, what? Oh, so not me. Oh, okay. Cool. That's totally fine. I'm not upset. All right, Ariana says, she's like, okay, I understand. I understand you wanting to hear it from me and not the way it was. But Ariana says that hearing from Lala and Lisa that she's upset makes her wonder if you don't feel like you can be honest with me because you're not saying anything in the moment. And Sheena's like, I'm just with Lala way more often. And she does ride very hard for me. And then they segue into Sheena's confessional. And this bitch has the nerve. Ariana used to be my person. But lately, talking to her has been difficult. I don't think she has been super receptive to my feelings. She's literally sitting here listening to your feelings. She's literally doing that right now. So then Sheena says to Ariana that she would understand more than anyone how much, this is bad, that she would understand more than anyone how much Sandoval meant to her. And Ariana can't help her face. She's just like, oh God, here we go. She's like, it's hard because you miss this person that used to maybe exist, but then immediately all these things come to mind that were so insidious. It's hard to be like, oh, my best friend is telling me, oh, I miss this person. So she's saying it now to your face. She's saying it's hard to hear you say that. And Sheena's like, okay, that's not the answer I exactly wanted. So what about this? Let's say years from now, okay, I were to come to you and say, you know what, Ariana, I've actually seen Sandoval has done all this work. He is a completely different person. I am going to see about like kind of being his friend again. Let me break this down. Tom has yet to show you signs that he's changing and growing. He's only cried in a way that you found to be sincere. That's the only growth you've seen. But he is not doing anything yet to show he's changed. You see, if Tom were to actually show signs of change, we would all see it. It would be one of the, it'd be like when James changes, like when he goes from being terrible and he changes, it's like, I think he really has changed. I think there is something different. It doesn't take words. It takes action, as Katie will say brilliantly later in the episode. So why are you, Sheena, already anticipating and cashing in checks with nothing to cash for him yet? Sandoval hasn't done anything. Excuse me, I have the hiccups. Sandoval hasn't done anything to prove that you should let him back into your life, but you're already giving this hypothetical situation that is very far, years from now. Well, let's talk about that when it's years from now, but nothing's happened. Why are you already asking? And so Ariana knows. She knows that Sheena's just trying to soften the blow because she already wants to be friends with him again. And that's weird because he's not proven that he's worthy of that. You need to see some action. Then we can talk. Then go ask Ariana how she would feel about it. But nothing's happened yet. And you're like, what if we say that like this hypothetical situation that's really impractical because it would mean that Tom has changed. What about then? Ariana will say this line another time. And she goes, I mean, I would side eye, but not in a way of like judging, but in a way of like, you in danger, girl. Now, for those who don't know, that is from Ghost. And Whoopi Goldberg says that line. And I actually should watch Ghost again. That was a great film. Whoopi was so good. And Patrick Swayze was my boyfriend until I was like 10. You know what we're never dealing with again? Body odor. You know what we're also not going to do?
We're not going to blame our vagina on odors coming from the bikini area. Because let me tell you, about 5 years ago now, I totally hooked up with someone and just coincidentally ended up with an odor, a smell I'd never smelled down in that area when I went to work the next day. I thought, this is it. I have an STD. It's happened. But I got targeted by a Lumi ad, and I was drawn in by the fact that Lumi was actually created by an OBGYN who got a little tired of people coming in and blaming their vagina on an odor from down there. She was like, it's just body odor, just like how you get body odor under your arms. Same thing, you know? So I tried it. Odor gone. I've been using it ever since. I use it in all the areas that just get swampy. You know, I know that sounds gross, but we all know we don't want to talk about it. Also, Lumi is baking soda free and paraben free. That matters. They've got really good scents too. I love Clean Tangerine. I have the body wash Clean Tangerine. I have the whole body stick deodorant Clean Tangerine. Also, toasted coconut. Incredible. I used that for a long time, but I'm on a Clean Tangerine kick. Lumi's starter pack is actually perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice, like mini body wash or deodorant wipes, and you get free shipping. So as a special offer for listeners, new customers get $5 off a Lumi starter pack with code SHESPEAKS at LumiDeodorant.com. That equates to over 40% off your starter pack when you visit LumiDeodorant.com and use code SHESPEAKS. Okay. The next scene is Schwartz and Joe go to those swan boats. And I gotta say, and this is not a compliment to either, they're perfect for each other. Like, Schwartz always said weird shit that didn't make sense. Joe says weird shit that doesn't make sense. They seem to speak the same language. So even Katie said on Watch What Happens Live, she's like, yeah, they should totally be together. Honestly, they should totally be together. But Joe says that Katie has not given her a fair chance. She's just being a jealous ex. You can fuck right off. You sent Katie a text that you were like super good friends and shit. And now, and then moved in with him basically and started ghosting Kristen when Kristen was like, wait, what's happening? Why are you at Schwartz? What are you doing? You just ghosted her because you knew what you were doing was wrong. And then you're like, they're being mean to me. Girl, you're the one who's moving like a snake. Then there's the night at the Belmont and Ariana surprises everyone and shows up. I do like how uncomfortable Tom is when Ariana gets there. I do appreciate that. He seems pissed and annoyed, which is interesting because she's just there, just like you're there. She's doing her thing. She's trying to just focus on other shit. Not look at him. She's like, I can feel him staring at me though. The girls go sit outside. Katie and Lala, they go, we have a safe word. Croissant. I love that. Great safe word. Makes me also want a croissant. Allie confesses that she's going to do Joe's chart. And they're like, why? And Katie goes, ah, so she's infiltrating. Cool. Yeah, I mean, she's infiltrated. She's got a whole confessional and everything. And it's weird because Schwartz is like busy denying that they're really a couple. Meanwhile, he's like, yeah, Joe's important in my life. And now you're going to make her. It's so Schwartz, you know? Sheena goes up to Schwartz and she's like, how was the pool party? But Sandoval comes up, so Schwartz can't really finish it. And Sandoval, of course, gets defensive. It's not like that at all. There was no hooking up or anything like that. Okay. Sheena mentions that Brock had told her, though, about the steak night and that he thinks Rachel had abandoned him. So Sheena thinks that she can be, once again, the guy whisperer. It's her favorite role. So she uses this as like a segue to telling him he needs to apologize. She's like, can't you just acknowledge that she is hurt and you hurt her? And then she goes, like Katie. But she's so out of touch with exactly what he needs to apologize to Katie for. She goes, swallow your ego and be like, you know what, Katie? I fucked up. I understand that this business I opened with your ex-husband was probably a big part of the demise of your relationship, and I'm sorry for that. Can you do that?
What?
That is like micro. That's just the small, the bar?
No, 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 no.
Sheena, see, you're not allowed to be in charge. Get out of here, Sheena. What are you talking about? That doesn't even make sense. That doesn't even make any sense. That's not, no wonder Tom's like disassociating. He's not even listening to her. Sheena keeps going, you have hurt a lot of people, and if you can just take your ego out of it. He's like, it's not an ego thing. And then she goes, Tom, you're getting defensive right now. I'm being calm. Beg to differ. You're using all kinds of fighting words. You're not saying I, because the rule is, I feel like you maybe do this, not you do this. Take your ego out of it. Go apologize to Katie for making Schwartz open a bar and then them getting divorced. What? No. Sheena. And Tom, I'm just tired of being the fucking scapegoat.
What?
That doesn't even equate. Scapegoat for what? What are they escaping? What are they scaping out? What are you talking about? Sheena, it's about having some self-awareness and taking some accountability. Tom, I am. He always says that. And basically, people want to go through the last 10 years of my life. And then Sheena's like, I'm talking about last year. And Tom goes, this is ridiculous. And walks away. Sheena walks away. We're going in circles. Sheena, just stop. See, this is the type, she keeps thinking she can have these moments with him, just like when she went up to his hotel room at BravoCon and was like, I went up there and I was like, Tom, leave Ariana alone. Okay, no one, you didn't need to say that. You don't need to be the one to say that, okay? James, because Tom's like about to storm out, James is like, you're going to burn every bridge here. And Sandoval's like, I'm done groveling to these motherfuckers. And he walks out. Okay. He is the Jax now. He's absolutely, this is like very Jax, but like Jax was dumb and simple and didn't make any sense. And Sandoval, I don't know. It's really stupid to compare the two, actually, because no one's better than the other. Okay. Brock and Sheena once again discuss childcare for summer, and Brock starts to slightly elevate his voice. And Sheena goes, lower your tone, Sandoval. So this is just like the thing. Lindsay called Carl Sandoval. Now she's going, it's a little ridiculous. Okay, we're you can't use that for everything, because it's, that should be like the worst insult. That's like when a man says to a woman, you're being like your mom. I guess anyone could say that to you. If anyone says that to me, if a friend said you're acting like your mom, I'd be like, what? You have to really save that. So Sandoval, you should save Sandoval. You don't want to use it too much. It loses its meaning, you know? They actually get through this fight pretty well, Sheena and Brock. They kind of laugh it off, whatever. But then they talk about her convo with Sandoval, and that leads them into sharing their thoughts on Ariana. And Brock says, you know, once this all slows down, I'm worried she's going to, and he doesn't like finish the sentence. And Sheena has to force herself to go, well, hopefully it doesn't slow down. Even though, you know, she's like, I am praying for that day. She cannot wait. I just realized that. The one thing she knows cannot wait for is for this to slow down for Ariana. So she can be like, that's right. Now you're one of us. Mm-hmm. That's right. Katie goes to Ariana's. She's like setting up for the little party that she's having, because Ariana's having some people over for game night. For game night. Okay. And Anne texts that Tom is going to be coming down to make a protein shake. So she leaves Katie there. And this is, Tom decides now is the time to apologize for what happened during the opening of the bar. No, dude. No. During your divorce, I'm sorry, I wasn't great. During your divorce, sure. Katie goes, if you're apologizing, that's great. But for me, apologies are just words. And it's true. Stop apologizing. Stop having this big scene. Narcissists love an apology. You give them an opportunity to give their little speech, their little apology, whatever. Lame. She goes, you fucked up big time. It's fathomless to carry on an affair like that. And Tom goes, fathomless? What? Really? You can't even fathom it? Yeah. Can't even fucking fathom it, asshole. How about that? Like, you can't even fathom that? Ugh. He's so triggered by Katie immediately. He's like,
Okay, I'm coming in here to be nice, Katie. The fuck? I'm coming here to be like nice to you, and then you're just gonna like treat me like that? I'm like saying something nice. Katie's like, yeah, because I walked away from a 12-year marriage, even though I was still in love, but because I wanted to be happy. And Tom, as if this is innovative, he goes, we're not the same people. And Katie goes, obviously. Duh. I think we're pretty aware of that, Tom. Katie's confessional is deep, man. I was in love with someone who wasn't ever going to love me the way that I wanted and deserved to be loved. And she says, I know exactly what it's like, even more so. And I felt it probably even deeper than this man will ever feel anything in his life. Yeah, that was good. That's right. That was so good. Tom's like, I'm trying to reflect on things. And Katie goes, well, stop explaining yourself and just start moving differently. That is a line I will be using. You don't have to keep explaining it. Sorry, I'm like running through people in my head who do that. And I'm like, you know what? Tom's like, I'm doing the best I can, Katie. And Katie goes, well, having parties here, really? Like, really? Tom goes, you know what people are doing to me? They're like, really, Tom? A blue shirt today? That doesn't look good. Katie is just, she just barrels right through that. She's just like, okay. She goes, you don't think there's any issue with having random strangers in this house that you're cohabitating, sharing this space? It's giving audacity is what it's giving. Tom goes, give me a little bit of grace. And Katie goes, no. Tom goes, I'll try to do better and stay out of the way. Oh, little poor. I'm going to go stay out of the way because I'm so sad. I don't understand why this is happening to me. Whatever. And Katie does not let up. She goes, just give her decency and respect. And then Tom goes, at some point we need to have a conversation. And she just takes it all the way. She goes, she wants to sell the house. And he's like, okay, yeah, we got to talk. Ball's in her court. And then as he walks off, he goes, you look great. I don't need you to tell me that. You should keep it to yourself. I don't fucking care what you have to say, dude. Okay, then Schwartz comes over and Sandoval is journaling. Okay. And he pulls out pictures of Rachel, which are, it's so weird to see them all blurred out. It's very like true crimey. It's giving me that. It's like, she doesn't, like, that freaked me out. And then he goes in his closet and sobs so hysterically while Schwartz just sits in the chair waiting for it to stop. Like, he sits in the chair, like instinct would be to walk over and hug, but he's just like, you all right, bro? And then he goes, he's like, I swear you're at the tail end of this. And Tom's like, no way. People are treating me like I'm Scott Peterson. Well, technically, Scott Peterson was cheating on his wife. And then Schwartz is like, well, you're not Scott Peterson. Didn't he kill his wife? Ugh. Nope, he's just doing another catastrophic example. Catastrophic is the name of his game. You have to do that in order to, for a narcissist, and you have to do that in order to prove they're not that bad. My friend's ex used to do that all the time. At least I'm not digging ditches in the side of the road. And I was like, one day he said that when I was there. And it's like, dude, that isn't the other alternative. Like, that's not even an option. She will never be with someone who was digging ditches. I don't even know what that means. What are digging? Digging ditches for what? Community service? What are you talking about? Construction? Actually, construction would be great. But what does digging ditches mean? He's like, well, just, you know, it's like, I don't know what the point is. What is your point? So with these bullshit, it's not like I'm Scott Peterson, okay? You always do this, but it's what you did. Remember how Jahami used to always say, Ariana keeps looking at me like I'm a fucking serial killer. And that's not what she looks at you like. She looks at you like a guy who lied to her for months, maybe longer. And she hates that person. So that's what she looks at you like. So it doesn't need to be, you are bad. Period. End of story. So stop. And then Schwartz is all, man, I feel bad. You're down bad. And Tom goes, I'm feeling destructive. Well, I feel like you've been destructive. Your whole affair with Rachel was destructive. So people start arriving to Ariana's little thing and the Toms leave, but they actually like stop to say goodbye. And I'm like, get out.
Bye-bye. Move it along. You're not invited to this party. Get out. During game time, they're playing a Never Have I Ever, and Brock drinks when it's Never Have I Ever Had a Threesome with two dudes. In the after show, he's like, well, no, what happened was I heard threesome and I started drinking, and then it was like with two dudes, and I was like, oh, no, not. He's like, it was me and a girl and a guy and a girl. So it was evened up, but we were in the same thing. Not like it matters. You know, I would be like, hell yeah, that's hot. Sheena is so excited to allude, though, that she had an orgy with John Mayer. She has told this story so many times. I'm really surprised people are, like, surprised. She brought it up on a season, and then she's done interviews where she talks about it. And she, in no way, I think she even said, my body is a wonderland before. I think she even made that joke before to prove it was John Mayer. So she's like, any chance she gets to bring this up, she will. One of the cards for this game was actually, and I like none of them could believe it, never have I ever dropped off a pet that I didn't want anymore. And they're like, what the? That was actually a thing. Sure was. Okay, guys' night. Now this night, the guys all meet at Tom Tom. My sister's bachelorette was this night. And we went to Tom Tom. It was a big group of us. And it was actually hysterical because when we were walking in, Jax was filming his walk up, and they were getting so pissed at us because we were like, people were in the way and they were just trying to get this clean shot of Jax walking in. So I watched Jax do the walk in thing, but they were in a room. I posted it, but I didn't get any footage, and I didn't see all, eventually I did see all the guys come out, because then the guys came out, they started taking pictures with people who wanted to take pictures and stuff. So it's just funny that I happened to be there. I don't have any tea from it at all. Oh, wait, I think James stormed out of there, actually, now that we think about it. James, like, stormed out. That's right. So maybe we'll see that next week and see what happens. Sorry, my cat is being so cute. Tiger, you're fat. You're a fat, fat kitty. Okay. While Guys Night is happening, though, Allie is meeting with Joe to do a reading of her chart, and blah, blah, blah. I really don't fucking care about what it has to say. But Tom tries to be like, Tom Sandoval, he tries to be like, Katie has a problem with Joe. She has a problem with Rachel. Huh. The two girls that you've hooked up with since your divorce. Like, come on, dude. That's clearly what it is. Okay. Again, see, not only does Tom catastrophize his that's not, is that a word? His alternatives, but then he also minimizes other things, such as why she has a problem with Rachel is beyond that. And then Joe was like, right after, you already know the story, whatever, we're not going to go there. But I don't like Allie. Allie was doing so well, but she tells Joe that she wants her to feel welcome in this group. And she says, Joe then says, well, when you're called an anorexic crackhead whore, I mean, I have not said one thing about them. Okay, but you've also avoided them, and you know why they're mad. So spare me. I don't want Allie bringing Joe into the group. I don't want that. But I know that Allie probably feels bad because she was once that person. She was once Allie with James, you know? Then the scene with Jax, he makes his entrance back and forth. I don't even need to, I have it all typed out, but I'm like, we know what happened. It doesn't matter. Because they use that as the transition to the valley anyway. So, I don't need to humble myself to you, dude. You don't deserve it, homie, was a line from Tom. And then Jax, I'm just asking. But, like, I'll go crazy if I have to analyze Jax beyond this, because we're already going to get into that when we talk about the valley. And it cliffhangs anyway, so we'll see it play out next week. Okay. Where my frizzy hair queens at? Right here. Frizz is my mortal enemy.
and Way sponsored the pod again. So thank you, Way. They have launched a new product, the anti-frizz cream. Now, I'm a little skeptical when a cream claims to be good for frizz because my hair gets weighed down very easily. However, I'm not just saying this because they want me to say this. I genuinely mean that this is the best frizz control, frizz-free, anti-frizz product I've ever tried. That's including all the oils, the Moroccan oils, I've tried everything you can imagine. I always, if I wash my hair and need to blow dry it, I will always use this. That's every single time. It is a new hair necessity of mine. Not only does it fight frizz, but it also protects against heat damage up to, I think, 450 degrees. So you're good. Helps repair split ends. I can attest to that. My hair looks better when I use this product. It smells so good too. Now, I like a lot of Way's hair products. They're leave-in conditioner. It detangles, it hydrates, it also fights frizz. The detox shampoo, I use that once a week, no doubt. Every week I use the detox shampoo because it cleanses product buildup, hard water deposits, dirt, oil, other impurities. It's safe for all hair types, including color-treated hair, which mine is. Also keratin-treated hair and Brazilian blowouts are fine. They also do fragrances, scents that are inspired by world's most fashionable cities, like Sydney's iconic Bondi Beach to the vibrant streets of Paris. They make a hair oil. This is your fast fix for healthy hair. It's nutrient-packed, it absorbs quickly, it keeps color from fading, and also protects from heat damage. The hair gloss, it's a conditioning treatment you actually use in the shower, and it gives you that gloss salon, like when you get a gloss at the salon feel. Very vibrant, shiny. It also does help treat damage. So frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter code SHESPEAKS for 15% off any product. That's theway.com, theouai.com, promo code SHESPEAKS. I have been wardrobely challenged for the last, I would say 10 years, honestly, but I didn't like the way I looked in clothes. I hated shopping. So when it was time to purchase clothes to wear out in public and be a normal functioning human being, I was overwhelmed. It's a big costly endeavor, you see. But then Quince came along and sponsored the pod. Now I've been able to shop for luxury essentials and stay on budget, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50. Yes, please. Organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, timeless 14 karat gold jewelry. The best part is all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They do that by partnering directly with top factories. So they cut out the cost of the middleman and they pass those savings on to us. And very important, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. We love that. Best pair of yoga pants I've ever purchased. And I've purchased every big brand of yoga pants in the search for the best one. And I have to say, Quince is the best. They hold my butt up perfectly. They're not see-through. Oh, I love those pants. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/shespeaks for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/shespeaks to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/shespeaks.
In the after show, though, we get into Sheena and the whole Dancing with the Stars thing. Sheena says, I would have rather heard it from her because when I heard the rumor and asked her about it, Ariana said, well, they're pitching me, but it's nothing's happening yet. But it's such a fuck you to Tom because he's always wanted to do it. Cut to Tom being like, yeah, man, it's my dream to do Dancing with the Stars. I started taking ballroom lessons and everything. Sheena and Tom should be best friends. Honestly, they're so similar. They're so the same type of person. And I'm very happy to know that he wanted to be on Dancing with the Stars and that Ariana got Dancing with the Stars. I'm very happy to know that, okay? Very. Because it does feel like a good fuck you to Tom. But unfortunately, in the process, it was a fuck you to Sheena, too. I've had some people point out that when Sheena was on, maybe she was on Juicy Scoop. Is that where they said it was from? It wasn't on the show, but I believe they said it was an interview. And I believe it was Juicy Scoop. Sheena said she found out about Ariana getting Dancing with the Stars through her agent. But when she told Dan, I'm sorry, Lisa, how she found out about it, she said that Dan was the one who broke it to her when she picked him up from the airport or something. Then she said she found out about it on social media. So which one is it? Sheena, how else? Who told you? Okay. Lala, of course, comes to Sheena's defense and she's like, Sheena is a very supportive friend. The word jealous isn't right because, you know, it's the root of evil, right? And I'm like, no, that's not. I will admit when I'm jealous of someone. I've even said that to when Pia has been growing on social media. And I even said to her, you're probably going to hit 10K before I do on TikTok. And I will only be 70% jealous of that. Like, own it. We get jealous. It's human nature. We get jealous. And Lala, you should admit you're fucking jealous. You're jealous. Okay. Lala says the issue was her finding out on social media with everyone else. And then Brittany goes, didn't that happen with Chicago too? Because I know everybody was upset about that. Her own business partner didn't know. And Lala goes, yeah, that is crazy. Something about her is Schwartz and Sandy's 2.0. Ariana is Tom Sandoval and Katie is Schwartz. What the fuck are you talking about? That is not what it is at all. Katie would never allow anyone to push her over and do anything like that. And are you seriously comparing Ariana to Sandoval because Ariana booked a job and didn't tell Katie? Like, I don't get it. We'll cut to Ariana saying, because Sheena's thing is that she found out that Brad knew, that Logan knew, that Dana knew, who else? But cut to Ariana saying, I didn't tell anyone. I told Logan and obviously my team working on it. But then Ariana's like, when that rumor came out about me getting Dancing with the Stars, it actually scared us because we thought, fuck, we're going to lose it. We're not going to get it now because they're going to be pissed. And also, like, who leaked it? That's my question. If you only told a few people, who leaked it? And also, you did tell Sheena. You told Sheena. Oh, the rumor came out and then Sheena. Okay, never mind. I take it back. Correcting myself. But Ariana explains, I was worried about telling other, like, public figures. Sheena, Katie, Lala, all of us are in the spotlight right now. All of us are being hounded by paparazzi. To me, I understood her being like, I don't want to risk it. Because what if one of you fucking does say something? Then I have to deal with two different things. Losing the job and then also, fuck you. Right? You know? Tom's like, I know Ariana well enough to know what her dreams are. And she's literally living her dream. And then the producer asks Tom, did you watch any of her dances? And Tom says he didn't. But I saw, it was just a blind on Reddit, so I don't know if this is real or not, but I saw Tom was at TomTom talking to, you know, schmoozing, working the room, and he would tell people to vote for other people besides Ariana. Now, I don't know if that's true, but can't you see that? Because he is shameless. He thinks Ariana is the bad guy, and I know some people do too, which is crazy to me, because it's like, you want to be on Tom's side? Okay, that's nuts. Schwartz says he voted for her and Tom shoots him a look, which just proves to me that happened. That could have been editing. Okay, read the sexy singles pool party. Ariana says, like, it doesn't hurt my feelings. It's just gross. And Jax chimes in with way too much authority on this one. He's like, it's your house too, right? I was told that it's your house. You pay the bills. So when you look at it from that way, at the end of the day, and I'm not sticking up for either one of them, she's doing very well in life, right? She's doing very well. She could get an Airbnb. She could get a hotel if she's that upset. Sorry, that's just how I feel. Probably get hate for it, but that's how I feel. Yeah, Jax. That whole I support Ariana thing lasted 5 seconds, didn't it? Tom Sandoval then tries to pile on. He straight up lies.
She very much has brought people over, though, people I don't know, and like partied there. I mean, there's been time when it was a Monday, 4:30 a.m., people drunkenly going up and down the stairs, like Wednesday, 4 a.m., fully knowing that I have work the next day. I haven't said anything. There did come a certain point. It was like the fifth day in a row. And I just went downstairs in the kitchen and just sat there and was like, if you guys don't keep it down, I bought that TV, I'm going to unplug it, you know? Like, it was like 4 a.m, fifth night in a row. That is when Jackson Schwartz completely shut up. Schwartz starts looking at his phone. Because I feel like even Jax is like, I don't believe that at all. I really don't. That is five. When would she have had time? When would she have had time to party five nights in a row till 4:30 plus in the morning? When? Was it right after maybe you cheated on her and she was suffering and struggling and people were over at the house? Because that doesn't count. But since when? When has she been the one to party? That's just, and they're like, okay, you went too far. Schwartz and Jax are like, I'm not going to co-sign that one because I guarantee it's a lie. Okay, producer to Tom, what was it like to get back out there as a single guy at the pool party? All right, you guys are a part of the problem. Stop indulging this man, producers. Tom's like, it was scary because, you know, you don't know where you are in the grand scheme of things. Like, and did anyone else expect him to be like, are people going to accept me because of all this? No, that's not what Tom says. Tom goes, I'm like, am I an eligible bachelor? Am I kind of eligible? Am I still good looking? You know, like you ask yourself, like, what am I? Am I a 5, a 7? And Schwartz goes, am I the most hated man in America? And Tom's like, you know, he doesn't acknowledge it. Jax laughs. And then Jax presents some fucking idea. He's like, you know, the whole, it's like, it's impossible. You know, it's possible. It's like 10 years. There should be like a 10-year leases up kind of situation, you know, where you go in like a DMV and it's like, do you want to continue? Do you want to not continue? I'm like, yeah, dude, it's called divorce. You just get a divorce. What are you talking about? What is it other than a divorce? He's like, my parents had it so much easier because my dad didn't work at home. Now we're like all working at home, you know, just we're sick of each other. What? What? That's not it. Bye-bye. Go away. Brock talks about why he drank, you know, during the Never Have I Ever Had a Threesome with Two Guys. That gets him on the topic of Sheena talking about her story. And blah, blah, blah. But eventually Brittany talks about her. She's like, I like the freaky stuff. I do a threesome with two guys. I do it all. And then she has done anal. And she's like, yeah, she's all like, yeah, of course I have. Of course I've done anal. We're freaky. Talking about Schwartz and Joe, Schwartz has to admit to the fucking timeline. So within a month or a month and a half of the breakup, Tom and her were hooking up, even though he doesn't like to say that we were hooking up. So Katie goes, she texts me right when it was announced. It was a weird thing. Bieber loves you. I love you. I'm here for you. Whatever it was. But then she would start asking if Katie could talk to Schwartz for her. Like, can you ask him if he needs a haircut? Can you whatever? And she's like, don't you have his Instagram? Like, you can talk to him. Like, what are you talking about? Why are you? That is weird. If you're texting me to talk to my ex for you about a haircut, what are you talking about? So she's, no. Schwartz denies ever living with Joe. But the way he goes, all of a sudden, she came over and did my hair. And the next thing you know, over the course of a month or two, we became really good friends. That didn't make sense. As a story, that didn't make sense. All of a sudden, she came over and did my hair. Well, you booked her to come over and do your hair. There's that one. And the next thing you know, over the course of a month or two. Well, that's not the next thing you know. The next thing you know, that's so you're the way he presents it, he's really trying to gloss over what the reality of it is. But thank you, Kristen, because Kristen tells the story of her relationship with Joe. Like, she was spending 4 days a week with Joe. Joe was coming over with her dog, dealing with that and like whatever. But then Joe ghosts her
And Katie calls Kristen while she's filming last season. She's like, I'm here at Tom's and there's all this girl stuff in Tom's bathroom. What the fuck? Is she living here? And Kristen's like, not that I'm aware of, but then she couldn't get a hold of Joe. Joe was ignoring her fucking phone calls. So Joe knew what she was doing was crazy. And also Kristen's like, I'm in a whole two bedroom. No one was living with me at that time. So I had a space for you. You'd already been coming over to my house. Why would you? So she sought that out. And she goes, people would see Rachel, Sandoval, Schwartz, and Joe out. And because we all were under the impression that that Rachel and Schwartz were hooking up, we thought that like Tom and Joe were just tagging along. Meanwhile, it was like this creepy little foursome situation. Creepy. But Kristen's like, I'm sorry, everyone. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for bringing James into the group. I'm sorry for bringing Joe into the group. I'm sorry. And then she kind of looks at Sheena. She knows what she's doing when she does that. She knows that when she says, I'm sorry for bringing James into the group, no one hates James like you hate James. Tell us why you fucking hate James already. Give us a full synopsis. Please lay it out because you still have yet to say anything that he did. And Pia and I just recapped season 3. Well, not just. That was like a while ago now. But it's on the Patreon. And Kristen fucked with James's head. Kristen was really fucking with his head. Real hardcore. So she's not it in the basic power dynamic. It's like it doesn't quite add up to me. Go back and rewatch season 3 if you haven't in a while. It's a good one. It's a great, like, it's one of the best seasons of any television show, period. So, like, if you haven't, but, like, that's where a lot of that stuff's happening. You're like, whoa, that's not great. There's a great segment on the Tom and Katie convo that leads them into bringing up the Tom's calling Katie emotionally entitled and stuff, but I don't need to, like, dissect it. And then there's a segment on Tom and Jax, and Jax gives a whole bunch of lip service that I don't feel like dissecting either. So there was stuff from the after show that I'm not even going to get into because it's like, blah, 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 don't care about it. But Katie really is getting a lot of justice, finally, for herself. And she deserves it. Okay, the Valley, the transition with Jax and the confessional to the next confessional, I thought it was very smooth, very well done. It should follow the way Vanderpump started. To me, it's very clear that the Valley is either going to be where the Vanderpump cast goes to. I mean, maybe they're phasing out Vanderpump. I don't know. They could phase it out. I don't, because I honestly, like, what are they going to do with the cast after this? Well, let's get into this. I don't want to go down that road. Brittany is 10 days post-surgery, and so she got rid of her turkey gobbler, she calls it. I hate mine, too. I do, like, what do they call it? Face exercises to get rid of mine. But it looks like, it almost looks like they put a chin implant in. Now, did they? They might have, to be honest with you. He might have convinced her, you want your chin out further because then it will make it look less. I don't know. But it, yeah, doesn't look great. It doesn't look great either in her confessional either. It's going to be really hard for me to ignore it. So I don't like commenting on women's looks that much, but it's like it's like when Vicky got all that work done right before she started a season. It's hard not to stare at it. So we've got Jason and Janet. They're expecting their first child. Jesse and Michelle are on thin ice. They're the ones who live in like Hollywood. Like they live in like the nice house right behind Chateau Marmont, which is very, very affluent area, obviously. Zach is actually Brittany's longtime bestie, but Kristen stole him. So Kristen and Zach are friends. Jasmine worked at Sur. She did look familiar. She worked at Sur. So Jasmine and Zach are like kind of besties too. Jasmine describes Luke Kristen's boyfriend as nice, kind of vanilla, but nice. And everyone, it seems, is a little weirded out by Luke. Everyone's kind of like, this guy came out of nowhere. You just got over a breakup. I remember when she announced that she posted on her Instagram pretty quickly. And I remember thinking, didn't you just break up with that other guy? But that's very Kristen. Kristen doesn't like to waste a lot of time. I like Zach. I can tell I like Zach for sure. Because Zach is like really honest. He's that guy. He's like, when she started seeing Luke, I told her, do not date someone. You just broke up with Alex. But that obviously didn't happen. Okay, Brittany and Michelle, they go over to Nia's apartment. Now, Nia has two new babies. She was Miss America? You know, don't want to get that wrong. Remember Kenya and Portia? She was one of those. And she's with Danny. Danny is an actor who was big in like Nickelodeon shows in his younger years. But now he does like a bunch of voiceover stuff. So they show him in his little voiceover closet recording all these like, you know, bird noises or like the military stuff. It was kind of cool. Voiceover acting, man. If you can do it right, get it. But Nia's got a baby strapped to her in like a pupusa thing and another baby. And I'm like, that's impressive, I must say. And Nia's like, oh yeah, Danny is the best dad. He wakes up throughout the night. He's changing diapers. And Michelle's like, yeah, Jesse didn't wake up one time. And even Brittany's like, not once? She's like, not once. Okay. The guys do some indoor golfing thing. At first, I thought it was one of their houses, but there were like lockers and things. I was like, this can't be. Jax barely acknowledges Luke. Everyone is weirded out by this Luke guy. Luke makes it weird. He looks to Jax and he goes, hey, am I unblocked yet? And Jax is like, stutters. He's like, oh, I don't know. Check, I'll unblock you. I don't know. And Kristen pissed off Jack, so he blocked both of them, which is hysterical, like genuinely hysterical, right? Like, that's ridiculous. But Luke is still, 99% of his life is still in Colorado. And they're all like, huh? Brittany tells the girl, she's like, I am just in the middle of this whole Kristen and Luke thing. When we were in Mexico for Sheena's wedding, Jax basically acted like he didn't even know Luke and was being really mean to Kristen. Brittany goes, you know, Kristen had been so emotional over the Alex breakup, so it was jarring to see her in another relationship so soon. But that's also very Kristen. Yes, it is. That's why Kristen, as problematic as she is good TV. Luke talks about how they're trying to have kids, and Jax can't wait for this topic because he is going to be a complete fucking prick. And he's like, I don't know, having a kid out of wedlock is hard. And I go, oh, now you're the morality guy. Now you've got the marriage and the kid. And he was going to church for a while. I don't know if they still are. I don't know if they're going to show it on the show. But Jax was posting in his stories about like going to church and from the whatever. So now Jax is like on this moral high ground. He always kind of has been, to be honest, even though of all the people to be on a moral high ground. Am I right? Am I right? Ladies, am I right? Luke goes, look, we both just want to give a kid the best life possible. And Jesse's like, yeah, that's great on paper, but having a kid changes everything. Okay. This guy's clearly a prick. It's perfect that he met. Jax and him have known each other since they were in their 20s modeling in New York. We got history here and I like it. Later, Brittany and Jax walk over to Janet and Jason's house, which is literally down the street. Cruz is in his little stroller. Cruz has something going on with Cruz. I can't tell what it is. I can't tell if it's a developmental thing, but I can see something in his face that they're just not addressing. Maybe they'll address it later, but I'm like, I've seen enough kids. Something's going on there. He's like very, very quiet. Whatever, but like they're not, they may talk about it later. I don't know. Jason works in workers' comp, but on the corporate side. So that says a lot. But apparently Jax makes everything Jason does like, oh, that's such a lawyer thing of you to do. And it'll be the most basic thing, like checking your mail. Oh my God, you check your mail. Such a lawyer. Isn't that so, Jax? It's like, no, that's just basic adult stuff, dude. apparently Jax is a rewards member at AMPM because he loves his truck driver coffee. He knows everyone there. Jax would. This is so Jax. He walks in, knows the people, just annoys the fuck out of them. Jack talks about the brother-sister relationship he has with Kristen. Janet hates when he says that. It's like, you guys fucked twice, just so we're clear. Jason says that Kristen will be a great mother. I actually do agree with that. Kristen, it's not like she's going to be a shitty mom. She may fuck the kid up, but most people will fuck their kids up. So Kristen was there, though. Like, that's how much Jason loves Kristen. She was there for the proposal to Janet. Well, you see, they cut to footage of that proposal. And I have a lot of questions. It looks like he woke her up and she's sick because there's like bottles of what looks like, you know, pills, like not prescription pills, but just like a Dayquil or something. I don't know if that's really what it is, but it's like the setting is so... There's got to be such a story behind it. There really does. Because it looks like he just woke her up and was like, will you marry me? Which is amazing to do that. But I just would like to know the backstory of that. Kristen was trying to get pregnant, though, a week before Jason even broke up with her. So she was trying to get pregnant with him. So she's just wanted a baby. So we'll get to that in a second. So Brittany throws Janet a party at her house. And it's a fair theme. And Zach arrives in a big blonde wig. And I'm like, okay, I get this. If this is really what these friends have been doing, I'm obsessed. I'm glad that they've got cameras on them again. Because this is a big group. It's hard to get a big group of real friends together on a show, willing to talk about shit on camera. But they got it. Kristen is very manic about wanting to have kids. I think Michelle is like, it's just interesting. You haven't even asked me like basic questions about motherhood or birth or anything. She's like, yeah, yeah, I know. Okay, Kristen. Meanwhile, Jesse goes and tells Jax, which is amazing. He goes and tells Jax that Michelle is not super happy and that the last 24 hours have not been good. Once the baby came, he says in his interview, he didn't evolve as a dad. That's just where we're at. We're kind of at, he says. Meanwhile, Danny says the phrase 3 under 2 a lot. A lot. Jax is like, you know, you want to feel bad for him, but he just brings it up so much that you're like, fuck off. Kristen, at one point, because there's an actual tattoo guy there, an actual tattoo artist. Kristen tries to cut in front of Jesse. She's like, just let me go. I'm getting letters. Just let me go. And he is not even sorry that he won't let her go first. And he's like, and I don't want any rushing, okay? Kristen jokingly then pinches his nipple and he does the same back. And then Kristen gets mad. How dare he? I'm like, you just did it to him. Honestly, I do not in any way, I'm not surprised that he reciprocated, I guess. But she doesn't start a fight with him. That shows growth. That shows some major growth, guys. She says she only puts up with him because he's Michelle's husband. So we got another Jax. Jesse starts making jokes too. Like, I don't even know why he's making this joke, but he starts joking that Michelle is his side piece or something. And she's like, ha ha. And then she's like, want to check on the kids? And he's like, and just walks away. Jax is preaching in the kitchen over with Brock because Brock and Sheena and Lala are there. And Jax is like on and on about how crazy it is that Kristen and Luke are just going to have kids and figure it out later. Meanwhile, you're saying this to Brock. Him and Sheena, they were not married. They were not married. And they'd only been dating for like a short period of time when they got pregnant. So this is like not really your audience for this whole spiel. Sheena and Lala go get Kristen so that she can be in the convo. And then Jax just is like, so yeah, are you ready to have a child? And Kristen's like, who are you to say if I'm ready? Kristen is drunk, mind you, which is amazing. Who are you to say if I'm ready? And then Jax, as if this is a better way to communicate it, are you mentally there to have a child? What? He tells her, do your research, which is so... That is mansplaining in a nutshell. Just do your research first. I think she has fuckface. Jason comes in and backs up Kristen a little bit, right? He tries at least. And he's like, would you be happy to have a baby right now? And Kristen is looking, she's got her chin down, her eyes up with crazy Kristen face going on, which is incredible. And she goes, she says, yes, of course she says, she's like, yes, I do. And she goes, and something that I learned about my last relationship is that I didn't want a baby with that person. And Jax interrupts and he's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You were here at my house telling Alex to come inside you. Jax is back, everybody. Jax is back. Kristen now is crying. And she's like, just because I don't tell you the ins and outs of my relationship doesn't mean we don't have these conversations. Talking about Luke. And then Jax goes, you got to stop looking at me, okay? Just me. We've all been saying it. Kristen's like, but I've known you for 16 years. Okay, but come on, girl. Like, Jax still should not hurt you this much. You, by now, you should know that Jax is a fucking asshole and do what you do with Jesse and just, like, ignore him. She's like, it hurts more from you because we're, like, brother and sister. Janet's like, shut up. Jax goes, you want the tough love, trust me. A good friend will dive in and hit the hurt spots. Will they? I don't necessarily think I do that. Like, I don't have the easiest time telling people the hard stuff. I don't want to hurt people's feelings. If they need, like, a hard lesson, it's like an emergency. And Jax is in no position whatsoever to be giving anyone advice about anything. So the last bit of it, Danny and Nia are saying goodbye to everyone, you know, got the sitter, and then they stop to take a pic, and Jax pantses, yeah. He pulls his pants down. He pulls down Danny's swim trunks, and that man had no underwear on, so his penis was out, his whole penis and balls. How humiliating. Nia cries. She's like, Brittany comes in. That was a bad joke. He did not mean it like that. What? But Nia was like overwhelmed already with going to such a big party. And so it's like it pissed her off because it's just so childish. Well, yes. Now, you know you're not on Vanderpump Rules when you pant someone and they get mad. Because if that had been Tom Sandoval, if that had been Tom Schwartz, would not be a problem. He couldn't have done it with James. He could have done it with Brock. Brock wouldn't have cared. You just got to know your audience, okay? Got to know your audience. Jax, he's like, oh, we don't do that anymore? No, we don't, sir. We certainly don't. So, yeah. But I love it. I got this vibe from the Valley that it's, I feel like it's just watching a group of friends. And that's what I loved about Shaws of Sunset until it became not about a group of friends because they all became enemies. I loved that about Family Karma. I love that feel, even if it's, especially if it's toxic. What am I saying? But they have such a long history, so they can get mad at each other. They can fight, but they'll move on. They'll get over it. So Summer House is giving me that vibe. The addition of West and Jesse are great additions. Like, they fit right in. So it feels good. And, like, the group of friends, the only people who feel fractured, obviously, are Tom. Whoa. Lindsay and Carl, but the rest of them just feel very connected and like buddies. And so, yeah. So the Valley, it feels good. I'm ready to see all of them, all the cast. I'm ready to see Janet, Jason, the works. I'm excited. And we also get to see Jax and Brittany in reality because this first episode, Jax and Brittany were giving us the fake stuff, right? I can tell that Jax is not going to be able to hide his shit for very long. And for Brittany, it's like, so now you're going to humiliate me again. We're going to get on a TV show. We haven't been on a show in years. And you're going to humiliate me again, you piece of shit. So yeah, we're done. So I could see how it was like their breaking point for her. Finally, something had to give. But anyway, yeah, I'm excited. So yeah, okay. That's that. Before I go. I want to address something that happened over on my Patreon because I know that the people who ended up canceling their Patreon may not hear any more Patreon stuff. So I just wanted to address something So I learned a lesson. The lesson is when I did the Southern Charm recaps, I should have never put them at the $3 tier. That $3 tier was only designed for the people who complained about sponsors and ads and stuff. And I would say there's a $3 tier. You get every episode on the main feed ad-free. Because $3 a month is very low. And the listens and whatnot, I didn't want to take away from the actual podcast because I do have partners too on the podcast. And so like those, the listens and stuff add to the ad revenue over there. Anyway, so that's what the $3 tier was for. Because I knew so many people would want Southern Charm, I was a socialist and not a capitalist in what I did. And so I thought I'll make it accessible to more people since more people will want it. I know people are going to be bummed I'm not covering Southern Charm on the main feed. So I want more people to have access to it. That's not how capitalism economics works. What I should have done is say it's $6. If you want it, it's $6. You know, when demand goes up, price goes up. That's just how it works in capitalism. But I was, so I thought, no, I'll do it for this one thing. So the people who signed up for that $3 tier to watch the Southern or to listen to the Southern Charm coverage, why would they know the ins and outs of my Patreon? They're not going to care that I said I'm making this exception. They don't know. I don't blame them. Why would they know that? So they rightfully assumed that more bonus content would be available to them at that tier. But covering Summer House over on the Patreon, it still comes with a lot. It's just a very trying show to cover. It just is. So I wanted it to be back at the what it should be, which is what it should have. It should have only ever been at either the $6 Grand Dame tier or the $10 The Moment tier. I should have never, the lesson for me is I should have never like lowered my price, basically. I should have never done that. Because when I announced that I was going to be putting the Summer House coverage at the $6 or $10 tier, not the $3 tier, I had quite a lot of people be upset about that. A lot of people canceled their membership. And I get that. I am sorry for that. I don't blame them at all. I just wanted to at least address that, like, I made a mistake. Lessons were learned. Fortunately, I did gain enough. I gained more than I lost in followers or subscribers, rather. I just never want to feel like I'm gouging people for money. I actually started the Patreon at higher prices for all the tiers, and I lowered all of the tiers, which was a nightmare. I lowered all of the prices because I just don't ever want to rip people off. And again, not wanting to rip people off, when I put the Southern Charm coverage on the Patreon, I was like, I'll just make it $3. Don't worry, guys. I'll just make it $3. And I shouldn't have done that. I should learn that I should set a price, because the people who then bought the $3 or signed up for the $3 tier, I guess they expected it. They expected more bonus content, and I don't blame them for that. So I want to, so I want to apologize and also just address that, because I do feel very bad with how I handled that situation. I tried to explain it the best I could. But yeah, so I'm sorry for those who canceled and have a salty taste in their mouth, because I get it. I do get it. And I'm grateful to those who did just upgrade their memberships. And I'm grateful for those who signed up for the coverage. But I just wanted to say that I'm sorry. I don't ever want anyone to feel like I was like discrediting or devaluing your support, because I did appreciate your support. Anyway, okay, I'm going to end this right now because I feel weird. All right, love you, mean it, bye.
Thanks for tuning in to She's Speaking with Emily Hanks. This show is produced, hosted, and edited by me, Emily, and brought to you in partnership with Cloud10 Media. If you are looking for bonus content, check out the Patreon. The link is in the description. To show some support, you can hit that subscribe button and turn on notifications so you never miss an episode. Another free way to support the pod, please rate and or review on whatever platform you listen. It's free and it helps the algorithm or something. You could also head to buymeacoffee.com/shespeaks and buy me a coffee or two. Make sure you're following me on all social medias. I am She's Speaking with Emily Hanks across all platforms, Threads, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. That's it. Thank you guys. See you soon.